Tonight, if you would please turn to Luke chapter 1. I've noticed that you hardly ever hear preaching on the coming of the Lord anymore. On eschatology or the millennial reign. And so tonight, I want to preach a message entitled Christ's Coming Kingdom. Amen. Luke chapter 1 and verse 30. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. I believe in the virgin birth. I believe it was a prophecy of Isaiah that was literally fulfilled when Jesus Christ was born of a virgin.
Yes, sir.
Verse 31, And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus.
Amen.
Now, none would deny, I don't believe any, that Jesus was a literal person. He was born of the Spirit. His humanity was in the womb. He was conceived in the womb of Mary, who had never known a man.
Absolutely.
And I believe that he came forth without any sin, and that he never sinned.
Amen.
That he did no guile, neither was sin. He did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. He was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. It's what made his sacrifice acceptable unto God.
Amen.
I believe he died for sinners. That he was buried and that he rose again according to the Scriptures.
Amen.
I believe his life was literal. That he truly lived.
Yes, sir.
He truly died. He truly bore our sins in his body on the tree.
Yep.
I believe that he literally, bodily, physically rose from the dead.
Amen.
And that he's alive forevermore. Verse 32 says, He shall be great and shall be called Son of the Highest. Now everybody agrees up to this point. We're all happy about Jesus coming.
Amen.
It says, And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever.
Amen.
And of his kingdom there shall be no end.
Amen.
I believe that's literal as well. And I hope to get into some details tonight. When Jesus Christ came to earth the first time, he came for the express purpose of being a sacrifice for his people. He became a man in order to die in the stead of men. His incarnation, his perfect life, his sacrificial death, his glorious resurrection are what constitute the sinner's ground of hope. And tonight, if you're lost, I point you just like the first Baptist preacher did. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Look to Jesus. He's the only one that can save you from your sins.
Amen.
The first advent of Christ. You understand what I mean by advent? When he literally came to the earth. That first advent, he came to suffer. Whereas I believe in the second advent, his second coming to the earth, he come to reign as king in the earth. So we want to examine several things that characterize Christ's coming kingdom. I'm going to warn you, this is a 10-point sermon. Well, then no amens. Now, if I would have told you there's a 10-point buck out there, boy, people would have, you would have sat in a deer stand for a day and a half to get a 10-pointer. And you're sweating right now over a 10-point sermon. You sinners. I believe that we have been in the last days, according to the Scriptures, for the past 2,000 years. The last days began when Jesus Christ was manifested and died on the cross.
Amen.
I believe that we could very well be in the last of the last days. I believe that the rapture of the saints, the first phase of the second coming, is imminent. That it could occur at any moment. It may happen tonight. He may say to us, come up hither. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I believe that event is going to happen before the man of sin is revealed, before the tribulation period starts.
Amen.
But I'm not going to preach on that tonight. I just want you to know that's how I see it. I don't line up with C.I. Schofield. I'm not a hyper-dispensationalist. I don't believe that there are different ways of being saved in different times. There's only one way. It's only through the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I don't care what time period you're in, if you don't believe the gospel, you're going to die in your sins and spend an eternity in the lake of fire.
Amen.
Any other kind of gospel that people preach is nothing but work salvation and not worthy of a hearing. There's only Paul the Apostle warned about preaching another gospel. There's only one.
Amen.
Now that I got that off my chest, let's get into these 10. Well, I might even add a point now since I've got a little added up. Jesus Christ will come from heaven to earth at the end of the tribulation period with the glorified saints who had previously been resurrected and raptured and caught up together in the rapture.
Amen.
This is that same army of saints. If you'll turn over with me to Revelation chapter 5, I believe Revelation 4 is a picture of the rapture. When John was caught up to the throne of God, he saw Christ revealed. But notice these glorified saints. They, one of my favorite passages, and this is a mission verse. Revelation 5, 9, and 10. This is why we are responsible to preach the gospel everywhere to everyone.
Amen.
It says, and they sung a new song. Now mind you, these are glorified saints. These are people whose minds have been made right. Okay? They're glorified. They're conformed to the image of Jesus.
Amen.
And they sung a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Mm-hmm. Listen carefully to what these glorified saints say. And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I believe believe this verse will literally be fulfilled in Christ's millennial kingdom.
Amen.
They're singing about it. They're looking forward to the day when they come back with Jesus. The saints reigning with Christ on the earth. And folks, I don't care how you cut it, we aren't reigning now. Now is a time of labor, and I believe very soon of severe persecution and affliction. But notice, the saints reigning with Christ is a fulfillment of Matthew 5:5. Jesus promised this. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The establishment of Messiah's kingdom will be the ultimate fulfillment of the request that we're told to pray about in the model prayer. Thy kingdom come, as if it's in the future. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That will be fulfilled when Christ comes again to the earth. This same army of glorified saints that will accompany Christ when He comes to put down all of His enemies and establish His millennial throne. This is the prophecy that Enoch made all the way back in Genesis. It says, now this is only revealed in Jude, but we know that Enoch made this prophecy. Jude 14 and 15. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, yes, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of His saints, yes, to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him. Amen. That has never been fulfilled yet. All the multitude of glorified saints have not come back with Christ to the earth. Now that passage is also referred to in Revelation 19, verses 13 through 15. When we come back with the Lord, we're going to witness Him smiting the nations with the word of His mouth.
Praise God.
Again, now you say, do you believe all this is literal? Absolutely.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Jesus is literal.
Amen.
The saints of God are literal. Now we don't know the day or the hour that this is going to occur, but I do know that it's going to happen immediately after the great tribulation. So how can you know that? How do you know? Listen, all I do is read the Bible.
Amen.
All right?
Amen.
And here's what the Bible says. All right? In Matthew chapter 24, verses 29 and 30. Yeah. Listen carefully. These are time words.
Yeah.
The word immediately is telling you something occurring right off, right now.
Yeah.
It says immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven.
Amen.
And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory.
Amen.
That didn't happen in 70 A.D.
No.
But it is going to happen at the beginning of the millennial reign. We'll get into the details of that in a moment. Upon Christ's arrival to earth, He's going to establish His throne, and He's going to purge His kingdom. Now this may be where you do. I believe at the beginning of the millennial kingdom, He's going to purge the kingdom from every lost person. Going to take them out.
Amen.
All of them.
I believe.
Say, now come on, how do you know that? What's the judgment of the nations for? Turn over there to Matthew chapter 25. We're going to look at a lot of scriptures tonight. A lot of them I'm going to quote. You're just going to have to keep up with me. And don't turn me out. When I'm quoting the Bible, you listen. All right? So I know how people are. I know how I am. We've got a lot of scripture. I mean, when you get 10, 12, 15 points going, you've got to pay attention. Boy, old George is sweating over there. Be worried about that. Matthew 25, look at verse 31. Again, another time word here.
Yes, sir.
When the Son of Man shall come in His glory,
amen,
and all the holy angels with Him, then, that's another time word, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory.
Amen.
And before Him shall be gathered all nations. And He shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. Now, where do nations exist?
Yeah.
On the earth.
Yeah, boy.
Is that right?
Sure.
That's where the nations exist. Now, look with me. It says in verse 33, shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. I believe these are survivors of the tribulation period. Verse 41, He's going to say to the goats, to the unsaved, then shall He say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Verse 46, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal.
Amen.
He's going to purge the lost from the kingdom at the beginning,
yes, sir,
of His millennial reign. Did you know there's one prophetic gem in the book of Proverbs that relates to this specific event? Did you know? I'm going to tell you what it is. It's one of my favorites. Proverbs 2, 21 and 22. Listen carefully. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth.
Amen.
And the transgressors shall be rooted out of it.
Yes, sir.
It's like the tares being rooted out,
yep, yep,
and thrown into the fire.
Amen.
And that's going to happen at the beginning of Christ's kingdom.
Sure is.
That's all. It's just Bible.
Yeah.
Now, Messiah's throne, the throne of His glory, is going to be on the earth. Specifically in Jerusalem.
Yes, sir.
And again, I'm not an amillennialist by any stretch of the imagination. I take these passages to mean what they say. And here's what it says in Isaiah 2:3. Out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Isaiah 24:23, the Lord of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem.
No,
Jeremiah 3:17, at that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered unto it. To the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem.
Yes, sir.
Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart.
Amen.
That's never been fulfilled. Men have been walking after the imagination of their evil hearts ever since the fall.
Yes, sir.
But during the millennium, the king's going to change all that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Messiah's kingdom will be an absolute theocracy.
Yes, sir.
And for the first time in earth's history since the fall, righteousness holiness, and spirituality will reign supreme. Amillennialists always charge us with being carnal and literal. It's going to be the most spiritual time of Earth's history.
Come on, brother.
The Bible says, and again, this is Bible. Psalm 72:11. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. All the nations will gladly bow before the righteous scepter of King Jesus to worship and to serve him. I'm talking about China and Afghanistan and Israel and Jordan, all the nations, Canada, America, all the nations are going to bow before King Jesus. Daniel 7:14. And by the way, we're living in a time where the world is talking about ushering in a new world order. They want to reset. It's all based on humanistic, globalist aims of tyranny and power, and it's spread all over the world. It's in the United States. I'm going to tell you something. We're going to be part of a much greater kingdom than anyone that man could possibly ever devise.
Amen.
We're going to reign with Christ. Now, it says in Daniel 7:14, there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. That's what's going to happen.
Amen.
During Messiah's kingdom. Yes. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe that there is a spiritual aspect to the kingdom of God. After all, when you're born again, Jesus said, you're born into the kingdom. But that does not do away with a literal fulfillment of kingdom prophecies relating to the earth. God is going to fulfill His purpose. Why this earth was created.
Amen.
Zechariah 8:22. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. Zechariah 9:10, and he shall speak peace unto the heathen, and his dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river even unto the ends of the earth. That's never been fulfilled.
Right.
All the ends of the earth have not bowed to King Jesus.
Right.
Zechariah 14:9 and verse 11, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Lord,
amen,
and His name one.
Yes, sir.
There is only going to be a recognition of one King, amen, one Lord, one God.
Amen.
And all the nations are going to bow in submission to King Jesus.
Amen.
It says in Zechariah 14:11, and men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. When's that ever been true?
Oh, yeah.
But it will be in Messiah's kingdom.
Yes, sir.
Messiah's kingdom will mark the time of elect Israel's spiritual regeneration, their justification, and physical restoration to the land that was promised them in the Abrahamic covenant. I believe God has a future for Israel. Now, I believe they're going to be saved exactly the same way you and I are. They're going to be born of the Spirit. They're going to look upon the Lord Jesus as the one who died for them, was buried, and rose again. That's how people are saved. That's how Israel is going to be spiritually restored by the power of God. Jeremiah 30:3. For lo, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah. You see, the 10 tribes and the 2 tribes are going to be reunited. That hadn't happened.
That's true.
That has never happened since they divided. Saith the Lord, And I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. You say, well, Israel's there now, but they're not in that, they're not there in faith. God's setting it up. It sure should have been a wake-up call in 1948. The nation of Israel may be one of the strongest arguments for the truth of the Word of God and God's promises. Amen. It amazes me that that little sliver of land is dwelt in by people that God promised the Jews that land all the way back in the book of Genesis as an everlasting possession. And how amazing is it? Everybody around them hates their guts. Wants to blow them off the map, annihilate them. The Muslims literally detest the nation of Israel. And yet, they're not destroyed. Because God has a purpose. I don't believe in replacement theology. Alright, there are many Baptists today that are saying all the promises to Israel are fulfilled in the church. I don't believe that for a minute. I believe they're two separate entities. Now, but you don't hear this preached much anymore. And it's sad. It ought to be preached. The kingdom of Christ is going to be the most glorious time on the earth. We ought to be rejoicing and anticipating in this glorious reign. Now listen. Zechariah 12 verses 9 and 10. I'm getting ahead of myself. Jeremiah 30 verse 3. Listen. For lo, the days come, saith the Lord. Well, I already quoted that, didn't I? Alright, let's go to Zechariah 12. Yes, Jim, preachers make mistakes. Oh yeah, people love that. When a preacher messes up, you call them real sinners. Zechariah 12, verses 9 and 10. Listen to this. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Revelation 1:7 is talking about the very same event. When Israel is going to be born of God and washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
See, the restoration of Israel to God's favor and to her land must be literally fulfilled. If you really believe Jeremiah 31 when he talked about the ordinances of heaven, if they can be wiped out, then he won't restore Israel. But we know that's an impossibility. So for the first time in earth's history since the fall, the government of Messiah's kingdom will be absolutely pure and holy. There's nothing like that on the earth today. Our governments are filled with corruption, pollution, greed, ungodliness, immorality, unholiness, deceit, but not when King Jesus reigns. The Bible says in Isaiah 61 and verse 11, as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring before all nations.
Amen.
This is ringing my bell. Jesus is going to reign in righteousness.
Thank you, Lord.
And it's especially sweet when you consider the condition that this world is in. I don't know how anybody can believe in postmillennialism. the idea that everything's going to get so powerfully great that we're going to usher in the kingdom. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Things are running down. Jeremiah 23, 5 and 6. It's one of the greatest passages to support the literal reign of Christ. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper. Now listen. And shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. When has that ever happened? It will during Messiah's kingdom.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And this his name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. That identifies who the king will be.
Amen.
You look around Earth's history, present condition, everywhere you look, there's turmoil, there's wars, rumors of wars, threats of bloodshed, tyranny, terrorism, cruelty. But in Messiah's kingdom, all wars and bloodshed shall cease during his reign of grace and peace upon the earth. Listen to this glorious description by the psalmist. Psalm 46, 9 and 10. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth.
Amen.
He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Isaiah 2:4. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore.
Amen.
See, that's not just a song. It's a reality. During the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, the 1,000-year reign. There's even going to be changes to the earth. The curse upon the earth and the animal kingdom will be lifted to some degree. Health and long life shall be restored to the human race. The animal kingdom will no longer be marked by hostility and enmity. It says that the lion shall lay down with the lamb. A child will be able to play over the cockatrice den. The plant kingdom will flourish in places that were previously barren. The desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. It shall blossom abundantly.
Amen.
For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert, and the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. Things are going to be glorious on this earth.
Amen.
Guess how many points I've already covered?
Three.
Who said three? Bruce, you ain't writing these down fast enough. I'm already on my ninth point. Don's got them all. I'll bet you when I'm done, he'll be able to come up here and recite all ten of them. No pressure, brother.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. The Messiah's kingdom will be a time of unsurpassed spirituality and joy for all the inhabitants of the earth. I look forward to the day when there's no more hatred and cruelty, no more blasphemy, no more immodesty and ungodliness. The king's going to reign. And people are going to rejoice in Him
Yes, sir.
Throughout all the earth. Psalm 67 is a good millennial psalm. It says that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee.
Amen.
Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy.
Amen.
For thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. Selah. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him.
Yes, sir. That's right. Amen.
That's never happened yet.
Right.
In fact, I believe that genuine Christians have always been the minority. We've never been a majority anywhere, but the power of Christianity has been so great that a Christian ethic, a Judeo-Christian ethic, has permeated the nations of the world, especially the Western world.
Yes, sir.
And it's literally transformed the world.
Yeah.
The gospel has done that. And up until... And I believe it's because things are winding down and things are getting worse. But that doesn't... See, one thing about me, I'm a premillennialist, but I don't believe in quitting. So, let's just wait till Jesus comes. We'll just watch and pray. No, we ought to be on the offensive. We ought to be preaching the gospel everywhere. We ought to be supporting missionaries that are preaching the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ and starting New Testament Baptist churches.
Amen.
We ought to do it until Jesus comes.
Amen.
But Messiah's kingdom will be the ultimate fulfillment of God's promises and His purpose for the earth.
Amen.
Psalm 2:8 will be fulfilled. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession.
Amen.
These are the conditions of Messiah's coming kingdom.
Amen.
Are you saved? If you're not saved, you're not going to reign with Him. You're going to be damned by Him. You'll be condemned. And you'll spend an eternity in the lake of fire. That's something else. I believe that's literal, the lake of fire. Revelation chapter 20, I believe that it is telling you the truth. That Satan is going to be bound for 1,000 years. Satan's literal. Why wouldn't the binding be literal? And he expresses that this time frame will be 1,000 years. 6 times in 7 verses. I believe that's a literal reign of Christ upon the earth. I believe the great white throne of judgment is going to be a literal event with literal sinners who will be cast into the lake of fire. That's why I don't spiritualize it away. I hope you know Him. If you do, you're going to live and reign with Him.
Amen.
And you know the great thing is, after the millennial reign, and I'm not going to go into all the details of this, but that's really just the beginning. Because after the millennial reign, after the great white throne judgment, after the purgation of the universe, there's going to be a new heaven and new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness.
Amen.
And the eternal ages are going to commence.
Amen.
Oh, how glorious. Isn't it wonderful to be saved?
Amen.
To have promises that are real.
Amen.
Oh, that God will give us grace to truly serve Him till He comes again.
Amen.
Thank you for paying attention tonight. I love this topic. I love the study of prophecy. Now, I'm not one of these guys that go haywire on, trying to figure out the color of Daniel's 10 toes and all that stuff. I think people go way, way out on a limb. And they try to see prophetic events being fulfilled in every little detail of history. I don't believe that. I believe this. Jesus said, the very last words He said, "Behold, I come quickly." John's response was, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Let's be ready.